200.
About 200 and...
About 212 people in here.
It's 100 as thundering is pretty funny. It's about a damn thundering...
Oh, is it thundering or I thought it was thundered?
I was like thinking thundering.
All those... Thundered sounds like an idiot saying, like, oh, I thundered all night. I couldn't get a wink of sleep. I
couldn't get a lick of peep. I was up all night.
Can I find anyone to lick my penis? No one? No one will lick my penis. Okay.
This is going to be a bad episode, isn't it? This is one of those ones. No. The last time we did the duo, we were like, we fucking got this, man. We're great. Us together.
I tell you what, it's because I'm sitting over here and not over here. This is so strange, like being in this position, because I'm always on that side.
And you're usually not bent over like that with your butthole open. That's different, too.
That's telling, it's very strange. There's an eye in the center of it, and I'm that Japanese demon now.
What?
That Japanese demon with the eyeball asshole. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, God. Fucking colloquial Japanese anus eye.
This is real, right? You know what I'm talking about?
What?
Nick is...
Why is his eye there?
Oh, I don't know. It's
how does
just
he poop?
Like, it's a,
does he poop more eyes?
There's all kinds of weird Japanese demons of like, you know. Come on. It's so easy. There's this blue one that like turns into a ball when he crouches down. And he's the fastest thing you've ever seen. And there's another one that is a kitty, but it's actually a little girl. Did you see that a couple weeks ago? Well, I guess it was a couple weeks ago. It was like last year.
Is that Hello Kitty?
Hello Kitty is not a small cat. Hello Kitty is a little girl.
What?
They've confirmed that Hello Kitty is in fact a little girl, and she just looks like that, just through whatever means of cosmetic surgery or whatever, what have you.
Hello,
Sanrio Corporation.
Kitty.
That's what the doctor said. Then he pulls the bandages away.
Fuck, that's really scary. What's the story there?
Well, there it was. You just gave it with
was
this,
it
the
one
doctor.
Cat dad?
Yeah.
Sugar, spice, this fucking cat. These are the ingredients chosen to create the perfect little girl.
This fucking cat.
Professor X accidentally added an extra ingredient to the concoction.
His cum.
Thus.
Oh, God, what is that?
Dad.
Welcome to Reasonable Beef. My name is Tim Kish. Who's my co-host?
Me, Dom. You know what you would think
you're
after whatever like 40 episodes I would be ready for that. Nah,
it's Dom.
It's me, Dom.
And we saw a movie today. What movie did we see?
The Cloverfield Chicken Pox.
The Cloverfield Pair of Socks, and it came out this year. Who directed this?
Julius Ona.
Julius Ona.
Let me see. I'm pretty sure he's a first time dude. Mm-hmm. The Girl Is in Trouble was another movie he did. Mm-hmm. And these, so I don't know what that is.
Talk about, that's the most boilerplate movie you could possibly make. All right, so pitch this to me. All right.
Well,
you know how humans have genders typically assigned to them?
I follow.
Okay, so there's this one female-bodied assigned female at birth person.
Too complicated. Right? All right, a girl. Okay, continue. She gets in bad with these guys. Too complicated. The girl's in trouble. Now that's a picture. Here's $80 million.
I feel the same way about She's Gotta Have It. Like, isn't that just ultimately every movie where here's a character and they have an objective?
They want the thing.
She needs the thing.
Boy wants thing.
Gotta get the thing.
Star Wars Episode 9. Gotta get that thing. Gotta get that.
What is that?
It's a Beatles song. Okay, one of my faves. Cool.
Hey,
B-side.
It was a Cloverfield Paradox, famous for just dropping during the Super Bowl. They had their first showed ads ever were during the Super Bowl. They said, hey, it's out now.
You know, it's insane that they let that happen. It's insane that they, on the Super Bowl, let that movie be advertised on the Super Bowl and then were able to, and then were like, hey, you know, after this game, and you know how, like, after this game, this network usually relies on people sticking around and watching the other stuff that happens. How about leave instead and turn on your, like, go on the internet?
That's true. I mean, it I guess I don't know anything about that as far as
it's a weird
how do you
move.
Sell
That's
ad
weird.
Space for a competitor?
Well, I don't know. Here's what I was wondering. I don't know if they... It didn't say on the trailer it was coming out tonight. It just said Netflix, right?
I suppose didn't actually watch it.
I think online they said we're dropping it tonight.
Oh.
So that's almost... If that's... I might be wrong. That might be a direct 100% not true thing.
Yeah,
but,
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
That would be sneaky. That would be such a weird little like...
And it's a shame because...
It's a Trojan horse, man.
That's the most notable thing about the movie is the marketing and the fact that it just dropped and released. And
yeah.
And the larger conversation around the movie seems to be what people are talking about, not the actual movie of, oh, this is the first time this has been marketed this way. It was the spec script movie that was sold to Netflix. It was a lot of money for a digital production, $50 million.
Right.
And then nobody actually talks about the substance of the movie itself because largely it's... pretty flat.
Right, but this is now what we're talking. This is, again, now, this is why I like to read this Ankler thing, because these are the things they kind of get into more about the business of how is this shit sustainable and all. And we've been talking about that forever, but it is like...
He
Netflix
says the
is,
movie's actually good.
He says it's good. Yeah, it's crazy.
So now I'm wrong.
Well, we'll get into that. I mean, I liked the movie. I know you probably didn't, right?
I didn't... I don't think I disliked the movie. Meh. I just think that it was very unfocused. It was a...
You can feel the stitch work.
Yeah. It kind of felt like it started life as a more intellectual thing and then drifted more towards a horror at certain aspects of it.
You know where it lost me in the beginning as far as expecting it to be particularly subtle and intellectual was when the guy comes onto the news and is like...
Oh, God, yes.
Like, I think if you do this spaceship movie, that there's going to be the Cloverfield monster. I think, I'm pretty sure if you go up in a space, Cloverfield's going to happen.
Isn't that the... who is that actor? He's like a character
know,
actor.
Yeah.
He was in Ghost Rider.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus.
But just like as a little cameo, I wish I had him off the top of my head. This movie had a serious problem just right off the bat with news in general being delivered. Like, experts say in 5 years, all of the energy on Earth will be depleted. Like,
yeah.
That is such a strange way of saying that.
Yeah.
The war that has lasted 14 months rages on. What do you mean, the war? This is not the way a newscaster would speak
those
about
are the
an event.
Things, though, that I feel, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe that was the stuff that was always in the script because the idea of that they went up to create energy and stuff, but it feels like those were kind of the patched in.
Oh, right. I mean,
moments
like
okay,
here's gives you backstory. Yeah.
The monster one for sure.
I understand the effectiveness of it. I understand why it's there and what they're trying to do. It's just done so ham-fisted.
Yes.
It's just the news talk.
Well, do you want to talk about how much we love Cloverfield?
Yeah,
just
weirdly
in
a lot. Weirdly a lot. I'm oddly invested in the project itself.
They still have me. I was so taken, and maybe it was because it was like formative time for us when that. So what was it? So we were talking about this, I think, the week it came out, right, where it was Transformers, summer 2007. Summer 2007.
Okay.
First Transformers movie. This trailer starts of the guy, they're at the party, just a bunch of people, found footage. All of a sudden, there's a roar, the floor shakes, they go up to the roof, fucking meteor shower, Statue of Liberty head.
Right.
And then it just didn't even say the movie title, 1-18-08. Boom,
oh, yeah.
Cut to black. And then you had to watch a whole other fucking movie. What the hell was that? And I remember, I was like, yeah, I remember talking to you on the phone about it after, because we had been burned by Spider-Man 3 earlier that summer. So we were coming down. We were like, I'm glad, you know, Transformers was at least fine. Like, I feel better. I feel like.
We had zero expectations
for
it.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, it's going to be not good.
Right.
After something like Spider-Man 3 happens to someone, you're different. You go into every movie expecting that it's going to betray
you. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, but we were, and I feel like then we spent the next 6 months. I wasn't as deep. Like I ended up having more fun looking at the people who did do the deep dives into the viral stuff because I just found it more interesting. I didn't really want to put the time into like decode shit.
Absolutely,
I wanted to hear about it.
That was the most interesting thing about Cloverfield.
Yes.
Is that it was the first time that I ever noticed like a major ARG by a company. Mm-hmm. And it was a very interesting one, and it definitely went places. I still see people with Slusho shirts from time to time. Just
well,
like Slusho
was like a JJ thing in other stuff, too, right? Wasn't it?
But that was where it started, right?
I don't think so. I thought Slusho was in earlier things of his, like Alias and stuff.
I don't remember.
Am I wrong?
Yes, you are. I'm gonna
okay.
assume you're wrong
okay,
because
great.
I said so. But yeah, there was a lot of ARG to this and like a lot of background to it. When it finally came out, it was okay. I guess I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but for whatever reason, you're curious because they did a decent job building up a universe around it during that movie.
Just mystery.
Yeah.
Mystery box, man. It could have been fucking anything.
It could have been.
We didn't know what the monster looked like. We didn't know if it was. You had zero idea. You just didn't know.
Right.
You assumed the guy's from like the Roar. It's like, oh, it's a monster.
Right. And in this one, I guess it ties in. Yeah.
I saw it. It's a lion. It's huge. Voltron or whatever. Isn't that what the people thought it was? A fucking Voltron movie or?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I forgot that there was like a whole hype campaign around it of what could this be?
What the fuck is it? Yeah.
Voltron movie would have been. And then Cloverfield. Never done
I do remember when we left seeing it the first time. We saw it with a bunch of high school friends, and I think we were the only people who were like, no, it was fun. It was cool. I remember we had gone, and someone was like, it was too shaky.
It was the height
I'm
of.
I'm dizzy. And I was like, yeah.
Found footage when everything was found footage. Whatever.
But it was cool,
don't
man.
Don't get too nostalgic, because I want to talk about this one. This ties into it. So the story around this is that this started life as a different movie called The God Particle, mm-hmm. and was kind of shaved around the edges to fit into Cloverfield, which conceptually is a really cool idea to mm-hmm. take these sort of sci-fi scripts and then tie them into your universe to try to pad out your universe and expand your universe with different types of movies, because all three of these movies have been radically different types of movies depicting arguably the same event, right? Or the events leading up to the same event of which is the birth of Clover, the monster.
Mm.
It doesn't always super work, though, because I think that this is where it's showing that the strategy might not super work out, because what if one entry kind of falters and doesn't quite make it all to...
Here's the genius, though, of this one is because the movie ended, and I remember my Cloverfield Paradox, and I was a little disappointed. It was kind of hard to not be a little bit disappointed just because of how exciting it was that they were like, hey, guess what? The new Cloverfield movie's coming out tonight, you dumbass.
Yeah.
I was stoked, and obviously we love Cloverfield. And I was like, are you trying to tell me that throughout all of Cloverfield... there was a fucking space station in the sky.
Yeah. There was an energy crisis going on.
And I was like, there's no way. Someone would have said something. There's no fucking way. And that I didn't like. But then the large... I feel proud that I stumbled upon this, and then I went on to like the Cloverfield Reddit subreddit, and I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of what everybody else is thinking too. That the Cloverfield Paradox event on the space station was like the core universe event that ripped open a hole in things, and then it sent things into different versions of Earth and stuff. Because the Earth in Cloverfield Paradox is not the Earth from Cloverfield. It's impossible. They have a fucking space station that goes up into the sky. Like, the technology's different.
Why?
There's no way. There's no way.
I mean, it doesn't really... Where is the guy moving to at the beginning of Cloverfield?
He's like Japan.
Moving to a different city.
He's going to work for Slusho. They don't say that in the movie, but that was like in the marketing. So that was his job.
Yeah.
Rob was going to work for fucking Slusho. And somehow Slusho was involved in like the cover up or something. And there was a satellite that fell.
But now how much of that is canon? Like, this is the way that JJ works. He just kind of keeps going.
Yes. This is the story. And I know he didn't make this, but this kind of decision making is him. And this is again me. I'll die on the hill for him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit. You could use this as an example of him at his worst, where it's like, he's not interested in telling you how exactly all these movies are connected.
Sure.
He just wants to kind of slap together things with these huge gaps in between and make you figure, and make me at the end of the movie when I'm like, that's annoying, there's no way there was a space station in the sky, be like, but what if it ripped a hole in all of space-time and it went into different versions of Earth? That explains it!
Yep.
And that shit excites me, though. Like, I'm making fun of it, but like...
comic right there.
Yeah. Sure, but it's sort of not, because comic books give you the hard fucking answer that bores the shit out of you.
Well,
where they're like, oh, the bullet sent him into a different dimension.
They always make more gaps to explore later.
Sure.
I see what you're saying. I do see what you're saying, because they do eventually give you the answers.
But sort of. He's expected, these movies are expecting you to extrapolate. And this is why I say that what's genius about this one being like a fucking space-time event is that this is going to sort of... It doesn't matter what the next ones are. It doesn't matter how they connect exactly.
Yeah, exactly, because there was a...
You're basically just, there was a rift.
Yes.
Shit's weird now, all over.
There's literally a line that says, what was once ours is no longer, or something.
Yeah, and right? I don't know.
Given by German Adam Scott. What's that guy's name? His name's like Daniel Stuhl.
He was in Civil War. He was.
Oh yeah, Zeno, Baron Zeno, or Zemo.
Yeah, Zemo. Zemo, girl of the 21st century.
Zetus Lapetus. He's still friends with 13-year-old Raven Simone. It's the exact same movie, just a 39-year-old German man.
I love, oh God, what was his name? I love Protozoa. Boom, boom, boom.
It makes my heart go boom, boom.
Zoom, 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 right, excuse me.
I mean, that's pretty much this movie.
Yeah.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Make my heart go boom, boom, boom. So we can talk about the actual movie itself as like a thing. So I see all of the things that are, we've been here before, we've done this thing before. Mm-hmm. And it's weird that some people would say the Cloverfield stuff being slapped on is the problem, but like to me, I'm like, no, that's kind of the main thing that elevates this into being
right
a little better than just any of these other ones. And I may be the wrong person to judge this kind of movie anyway, because even last year I really liked Life, the Sony movie
with, okay,
like I really enjoyed that, and that was Alien, dude. It was just a fucking thing on a ship and it's killing people.
Oh, absolutely.
And this was interesting enough in that
it's
it was
that it's
weird.
It's become a genre movie now.
Yes, like, I mean, the ship horror movie thing.
You're going to have some you know, anime-ass spacesuits. And
yeah.
My favorite part in this was during the final fight when the main character activates the wooshy button on the other character's suit, which sprays steam in your face for some reason, which is a feature on the spacesuit she's wearing. Shit. Just in case you enter a 4D motion picture,
that's
4D suit.
That's the Universal Studios button. Fuck. Everything make me wet.
Yes.
But I don't know. Like, I would say the fact that it's got the Cloverfield stuff is what makes me more engaged. Because kind of beginning to end, if the whole... And this is, again, why it's genius. It's annoying because you can say all these same things in a negative way. But it's genius in that the whole movie, you're sitting there like, how does this...
Yeah.
How is this Cloverfield? What the fuck are we looking at?
Right.
And if that's like, it's sort of, honestly, it's what I said. This is a weird comp, and we didn't do this movie on Beef, but it's sort of what I said about Jumanji. Welcome to the bunghole.
Mm-hmm.
Really felt like I needed to. I mean, you guys couldn't see
you,
it,
you
but
let
I
that
was
one stew
I
for
was
a
real
second.
Proud. But in Jumanji,
welcome to
like
the bunghole, we've got poop and farts.
All right, we're done here. I think we need to stop.
Thanks for tuning in.
We need to stop Beef for good. But that whole movie is carried by, regardless of that, I think it does have a really good pace, and I think the characters are good, and it's funny as shit. You're kind of the whole time watching it, and the fact that you have to use your imagination a little bit every frame that you're looking at the main characters, because you're like, oh, I know those are kids. Those are the kids in there are kids in those people's bodies. So it's like every moment you're there, you're sort of, you have to be sort of engaging with it and
right.
pretending like, oh, right, that's a kid. Ah, da, da. And this was sort of the same in that way. I feel like I gave this a lot of credit, and I was kind of into it the whole runtime because I was just sort of like, this is Cloverfield. What are we doing here?
Right.
Are you about to, like, are we gonna see any of the characters from the other one? Are we going to end up in Central Park? Yeah. Like, where are we going, man?
I knew the moment that they said that it crashed, I went, oh. Yeah, I knew exactly because
wait, what do you mean?
Of the last scene in Cloverfield,
with
which is where you see the thing crashing into the ocean.
Right.
So as soon as they said that the space station crashed, I was like, okay, so that was the thing. But I guess that's just because I'm super smart.
But that's also not necessarily true, though, because now I'm convinced that that's an alternate universe. It's a different dimension from the first Cloverfield. I think maybe it's possible a piece of it.
How dare you? You're just like, no, 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 but that's
no,
not
but
true
I've
because
decided.
My theory
no,
is the true one.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Well, but my thing disproves it. It's like, no.
But how could you possibly... I will... It's more just me needing to, for the sake of me, to continue to love this franchise. I don't know what you want to... This weird cobbled together mm-hmm. thing. I don't know. I can't... I'm not going to be able to accept that was the same world.
There's not necessarily a reason... To not believe that during the events of Cloverfield, there was a war going on between Germany and Russia over like a energy crisis. I mean, there's no time to even dwell on that or think about that.
But here's the thing. If everybody, and if it was this widely known fact that there was a space station up in space and they were about to flick a button that's going to change the fucking fabric of
the
universe.
True. And they also wouldn't have been surprised by the blackout either.
Exactly. And I'm saying, like, you would think, you would know... That if this movie was, and I know that they didn't know when they made the first one, so I know that this is like, I don't know. I know that you would never get the scene where someone's running around and like, do you think it was because of the station, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And maybe we'll get some, you know, George Lucas re-edits of the old Cloverfield now, and we'll start to see little things pop up of like behind the monster at the end of it. You just see the station up in the sky. It's like not even it's very poorly motion tracked.
Like the ghost of the ghost of the crew is just sitting there.
Just a JPEG of the fucking space station.
Like a gift.
But I don't think they're going to do that. I think that that's why I do think the prevailing theory, and I think that what he's never going to answer it though. That's why he's a dick, but he's also a genius. He's never going to stand on stage at Comic-Con and say, yeah, they're alternate timelines. The Clover Paradox was the core event. We're never getting it.
Just talking about reality
of everything. Yeah,
it's like, yes, God is real.
We had to make this movie. So I don't know, man. I had a good time, and I even think, for what it's worth, like, the movie is made. It's got the same, I think Ryan told me, it has the same cinematographer as Force Awakens.
Oh?
Yeah. I liked how the movie looked the whole time. I thought it was clever enough, the different... It's funny, Chris O'Dowd's character, he got the kind of coolest scene. Like, we've seen the airlock scene before. You've never seen it fill up with water, though, and then when it opens up,
flash freeze.
That's cool. We've never seen... The fucking universe is going screwy, and this wall is like a weird mush zone between dimensions.
I think I just kind of hate formulas. I really hate horror movie formulas, which, so that's kind of what it descends into. It's more of a thriller. I would never quite ever call it a horror movie.
It's my phone. That wasn't. I don't. Protest. Fart. I never farted. I don't even really like it. It's not fun. Okay.
It's not really, I wouldn't call this a horror movie, but it drifts in horror movie territory. Like, for instance, every time there's a kill, quote unquote, like with O'Dowd, where his arm goes into the wall, it's played as like a horror movie thing of like, there's something going to be horrible happening.
Yeah.
Or with Tam, where she goes into the thing and it freezes. And
or the fucking girl in the wall. Like,
yes. These are horror movie beats where it's let's fill this time showing bad things happening to these people trying to mitigate the problem, which I just don't like as a formula. I know like it raises stakes, but you could tell when it's like, oh, here's her turn to get it.
I understand. It just keeps feeling like, oh, we're just isolating everybody one by one and just watching how they're gonna pick them off.
It's, that's just not the formula. But they were cool ways.
But see, that's one of those things that I don't like. You know that's gonna happen. Like if the mission,
it's the same reason in like Prometheus, to be perfectly honest, it's the same. Sure, it's very similar. Actually.
Sure, yeah. But if the mission statement is like, oh, literally, we're making this movie. The whole point of this movie is that we're on a spaceship and scary stuff's gonna happen.
We're doing one of these.
You're gonna just sort of do, but you're gonna be clever about it. Oh, we've never seen the arm in the wall. We've never seen magnetic putty, fucking wrap the dude up and kill him like that. Like, and then blow up. The room he's
that
in.
That is true.
Like, yeah, it's just,
and I almost feel like it could benefit by being more gruesome than it is. Like, if you're gonna do kills like that, just go all out with them. Although I did think the stop motion of the clay was really cool looking.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was really freaking. That was cool. Really it, like, cool. Looked the way it was animated looked cool.
I didn't understand though why when it touched him he got pulled.
Yeah,
backwards.
I don't.
You would. I thought it was.
I was
gonna
like kill him. Yeah, and like stab through him. I thought the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably but I don't know. So I thought all that shit was cool. I didn't like. We talk about some things that were a little weird. Like. And I don't know if this was a remnant of, maybe the husband story it was better in the first version of it, where it was more just like, oh, I've gone off to fix the universe, and then she ends up in a parallel dimension. Like, maybe his whole thing was stronger, but like, it felt a little like, why is he with a girl? Right. Like, why is there a girl? So that we could have the scene where maybe the Cloverfield monster is in the smoke.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. You don't even know if it actually was it.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that, and especially since
we're not in the same universe.
Like, and I get how his arc could have been him trying to get ready for having another kid. Maybe that's his arc. But
sure.
In the beginning, he introduces the idea of giving it another shot. So it might have worked better sort of if she wanted to give it another shot and he wasn't ready.
Right.
And his arc is learning, like, oh, this kid, I forgot how much I love kids. Yes, sure.
Right.
What?
Jurassic Park. It's like the whole movie.
Is that really the...
Yeah, like he's like, I don't like
I'm
kids.
I'm not familiar enough with Jurassic Park.
Kids are
don't
ugly.
Fuck with me on this.
Kids are ugly and I want to stab them with raptor claws. That's how he starts in the movie.
Well, and then it turns around.
And then he has to spend a whole time with all these kids and they throw up on him and cry.
So but he only exists to introduce the Cloverfield device, which I think some would think is cheap. But I don't know, man. I just don't give a fuck. I think maybe because I did accept that they were this is another one of these.
Yeah.
And just take it for what it is.
But now here's the other thing, though, too. the monsters in 10 Cloverfield Lane are not the Cloverfield monster. That is not it. There's no even
right, but
sort
we've seen
of,
that there's different versions. Like the monster itself creates little monsters that aren't that don't look like itself.
Sure,
like,
but
who's to say that there's not other monsters across the world that came in through the rift?
All right, but if it's the rift though, great. I don't know. I guess you could assume maybe Mary Elizabeth, what's her name? Winston.
Sure.
Mary Elizabeth Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Big gorilla with a jetpack.
That's what I love the ending. I was just thinking about the ending of that movie where it's like literally she's at a stop sign, safety and conflict. Yeah. I'm just imagining like the third one, just like a McDonald's sign that way.
Ba da ba ba ba.
It's very serious like this. Huh? Pulls into the drive-thru. Yo, speaking of
here we go.
Let's talk about the score done by Bear McCreary, famous for Walking Dead.
Outlander.
He mostly works on TV, right? I guess.
Sort of. He did. I was just looking at his shit. He did Dark Void, the video game. I was just saying that. That's a great score too.
Yeah.
He did 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
But
he's great, and he's someone who I think always deserves more recognition.
I typically am very enchanted with the way that his scores sound.
Regardless of what you think about the show, The Walking Dead probably has one of the stronger themes of the last 10 years.
Never heard it.
You'll, as soon as you hear it, you'll know you've heard it before. It's in like a, yes, that's it. It's up there with Game of Thrones, probably because they're the two more like most popular shows of the last decade. Right. But it's up there with Game of Thrones being like a memorable theme.
Game of Thrones is in my ears and in my eyes.
But yeah, this is a very varied. I'm impressed at how orchestral the soundtrack is.
It's huge, dude.
Because sci-fi movies are typically, and this is like,
yeah. I miss that shit, dude. It makes stuff feel big. It makes movies feel more important.
It does.
Like
it does make it seem a little bit more like a thriller than a horror, right? Because it's,
I don't know. I would almost more argue that it just makes it feel like a more classically made movie.
Yeah, well,
for better or worse.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I think when synth soundtracks are designed to kind of make you feel isolated and kind of creeped out, and this is designed to like kind of be pulse pounding. Like
I also don't tend to like I tried to listen through. It was good for like background stuff a little bit when I was writing.
Sure, but you don't like soundscape scores. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah,
you can hold on a chord on a fucking MIDI keyboard for 3 minutes. It's not gonna. I don't really like it.
Spook.
But you start booming in with do 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 do.
The opening of this movie, it opens with like a very subdued scene with her in the car with her husband.
Which I like. That's a cool way. They're in line for the gas station.
Right.
Energy crisis. Cool.
But that scene itself is played. It's a little rough. Like as soon as it starts, I'm like, oh, this is a budget film.
Mm.
You can just kind of tell. It's got kind of like a.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Feel to it. But it quickly tightens up. And I think I stopped noticing the budget of it pretty quickly through, probably by the time the title sequence came around.
Yeah, I feel like it feels big, man. That's another reason why when I was watching it, like...
But how much of that is because we're watching it on television? A television.
It might be a little bit. I don't know.
Because I immediately, every time I watch a movie on Netflix, my bar goes, because I didn't spend $14.95 for it.
Right, that's fair. I'm also just generally sick of... CGI spaceships in general. I, even in
spinning in space,
bro.
If it fucks up spinning, then we're all gonna be liquids. Yeah,
we can't be not. So do the get it. I don't know. I get burnt out on those effects, like big swooping spaceship shots of it. Like even in Star Wars, even in. Like, I'm just kind of, it doesn't really excite me.
Exactly. You say it's good CGI, I'm not tricked.
Right. You're not tricking me, for sure. I like when they do, like, in, I almost called it Inception. Interstellar. They had some cool stuff that was, like, practical stuff and shot with actual miniatures.
All right.
That's cool.
I think that when it comes to a sci-fi movie, the fact that there are so many of these kind of movies, you just get such an opportunity for set design to just really go crazy with that aesthetic.
Yeah.
Other times, sometimes it's really cool, sometimes not. This is a pretty generic look to it, but again, that's the point of it.
But it, like a good, in a...
But yeah, and like it does, it's solidly designed, it looks good, but it's not gonna...
Would I have liked weirder shit? It's not, of course. Yeah. I would have liked pretty much across the board some more crazier, weirder, bolder things that don't just fit in this kind of movie. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. I know I could. I can hear that I'm going a little easier on it than I would if it maybe wasn't a Cloverfield thing. Right, but I'd probably still like it. Honestly, I'd still be
conceptually,
like...
Conceptually, it's just an interesting idea for Netflix to go, we're going to buy us one of these. Like,
yeah.
They knew entirely what this movie was and
yeah,
the limitations of the project, and they still went forward with it
but
anyway.
But that's also the flip side. Maybe we'll go down this path now, too, is like, on the other end of that deal, though, was Paramount, who was like, oh, we don't want to put this out. Like, we don't...
Yeah.
Or they were like, because that doesn't happen, man. If they were gonna, if they thought that this was a thing that could land in theaters and do well, they would not have sold it. Oh, you don't give movies away after you've paid for them to be made. It just doesn't happen.
Well, I
and
mean,
it was bought.
But now,
like,
because they never had a market to do that before.
I
because
guess.
Because who are you gonna sell it to? Either direct to DVD, or which is like a nothing, or another studio.
But my statement stands: is like you still though you wouldn't. Just because you had the opportunity doesn't change the fact that, like, you wouldn't have sold it if you thought you had something.
Right.
You
know, it's literally, I mean? Somebody did a calculation, we will not make our money back. We put this in.
Right. This is it's smart. It was smarter for them to get the, like, $50 million from Netflix.
Mm-hmm. So, was the movie wasn't made and then they sold it to Netflix, right? The script was floating out and they had the rights to everything.
No, JJ was making it with Paramount because Paramount also did the other Cloverfields.
Oh, 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, JJ has, like, a deal with Paramount. He's, like, a first look deal.
Interesting. I didn't realize it had been, like, done.
And they were doing it. So still counts, but it was under Paramount. And then when the movie was, like, cut. And they also, like, I think
There's also no star power in this movie, really.
No, which is cool. I like that.
10 Cloverfield Lane, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is a draw. I think people know her.
Like her.
She's, like, a sweetheart to a lot of people.
John Goodman?
Yeah.
Get the fuck
John
out of town.
Goodman's definitely star power. This had... I mean, Chris O'Dowd's not a nobody, but he's not super known in the States. Like we said,
he's got Netflix cred.
The ice clown. Who's
the
IT
crowd?
No. I'm talking about the Adam Scott, the German Adam Scott.
Oh, the German Adam Scott. Yeah. But back on fucking JJ and Paramount and all, he's actually been having a weird thing with them because he was supposed to do another Star Trek or something. And when he then decided to do Star Wars, that was like this weird thing where they had to sort of.
Hey, JJ, we...
Basically, Disney had to pay Paramount for taking him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has this movie there, fucking Cloverfield, and then Netflix gives Paramount money to take it.
Right.
Seems it's
like
weird,
JJ just
man.
Doesn't want to do business with Paramount anymore.
I don't think that's true, because they made the whole movie.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's a more... to be honest, and I don't... Not to pretend like I know everything about it, but, like, it feels like every time I hear about Paramount in general, it's kind of like... in a weird, like, they don't really know what they're doing sort of way. Because they have Mission Impossible, they have Transformers. But, like...
Right.
I don't know. Like,
I feel like that's happening with a lot of the legacy studios right now.
Yeah.
That's not Disney or...
yeah, man.
Fuck, who else? I guess Sony. Sony's doing okay.
Well, Sony's
but
doing
even
okay.
them,
that's
they're,
weird,
they're like...
They've been the one who was sort of flailing... For a while. And then now, I mean, even last year, they had Spidey and they had Jumanji.
They keep taking these shots. Didn't they do Lego? Is Lego Sony?
No, that's Warner.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's it. Oh, Warner's doing okay now, too. But even still, like, their DC properties, like, they really went whole hog into the DC properties and it's not going.
Whole hog? That's fucking gross. I mean,
come on. Oh, God. I guess that really is what that implies. It means, means you're going hilt deep in it. Into something. Oh, and a whole hog into her.
Hilt deep.
And it's really not playing out. Like, I read a similar, in the video games world, there's a similar thing with Microsoft, where, you know, they're coming up on Halo 7.
Oh, Christ.
Gears of War 5.
They're still making,
like,
Halos?
What do they don't really have anything. And I feel like that's a lot. Is this the consequence of 10 or 15 years of studios not super rolling the dice on new IP?
I get, yeah, dude, yeah.
This is the fallout of adaptation culture,
yes.
Right? Where,
Dark
we run
Universe.
Out of things to adapt.
Dark Universe, I am pretty positive, is dead. I'm pretty sure.
I mean,
like,
it is dead.
Over.
They canceled it.
They didn't officially cancel, but
when they canceled Bride of Frankenstein, they ostensibly said this is dead.
Well, they just were being, they were like, we're delaying. And then they were like, oh, our main guy who was, like, heading the charge on this, he doesn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And also we're not making movies anymore. We're done.
Dark Universe. Dark Studio. Click the lights off, Jeremy.
What a
We're hitting the bar.
What a bummer, man. But yeah. Yes, I don't know. I have faith. Like, I think the Cloverfield model is weird. I'm glad, though, that Cloverfield's coming. Because I don't know, man. I like the mystery of there's a monster and we don't know what's up.
Yeah.
I'm always going to kind of like that, I think. And that's why it's just interesting. You can use that and you can give it a different shell. And I understand people's argument with this. Like, maybe the shell's not so different either, though. So that's like, what are we doing here?
Right.
Like, what exactly is the big win?
Well, the idea of it being a dumping ground for...
Yes.
Movies.
But it doesn't even need to, like, I don't think the movies they're picking, it needs to be thought of dumping ground wise. Because here's the fact is, like, yes, I guess you could say largely this one was not a success. People don't like this movie. I liked it, but people don't. 10 Cloverfield Lane, though, was a smashing right. success. And no one seemed to really care about the Cloverfield. Like people were like, I don't really get why it was.
Dumping ground, yes. Dumping ground is not the right word. I don't think dumping ground. I think high risk investment. It's the way to mitigate a high risk project that maybe you don't think will return in a way.
Right. So slapping Cloverfield on it.
Exactly. So they mitigated that 50 right. mil right. by selling it to Netflix. Well, I guess that's a completely different thing of selling it for $50 million.
Like, it's right. not like they're not selling tickets. It's just like,
so we're talking about two different things. Of there's the idea of the script dumping ground to be go through the Cloverfield machine, get like its, you know, its legs sewed onto its forehead, and now suddenly it's this Cloverfield movie. And then also Netflix just straight up buying a movie from another studio. These are two completely different conversations that are completely fascinating
what,
in their own
what
right.
I was gonna say, this is, we were gonna just on the Netflix thing to get there a little bit, is like I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing in these articles there's they're getting a reputation for like just being insane, for like throwing too much mud. Like, yeah, it's good. It's awesome that they, I saw it was another thing that was pointed out, it's another fucking Ankler thing where it's like, you know, Netflix says we're gonna invest more on our stuff. We're gonna spend more money on making things. Their stock goes up. Other people say we're gonna spend more money on making stuff and the stock goes down.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. I don't know if there's like a hard reason for that, but it's weird. They're operating under this weird, we're like still under their Netflix spell. Because
they're still doing their startup thing where they're talking about like our potential is growing, whereas as Paramount saying like we need to make more stuff,
right
because Paramount's the legacy brand. I think maybe it's just kind of this group benefit of the doubt that everybody gives to Netflix.
I guess, but
how much of it is the strength of the brand too? But just like Netflix is in the news,
it's things are happening though. At least maybe it's just industry wide, and maybe what's more valuable though is just general public perception of Netflix. I mean, I think inarguably, yes, that is more valuable.
Right.
But like, people are now being like, yeah, dude, they're making all these fucking movies. Who's watching them? We've talked about this a bunch of times. They're churning out so much stuff, so many new shows, so many new movies.
Right.
There's, who's watching all that stuff? Maybe some people find whatever that fucking demon baby was that came out with Adam Scott or whatever. Like,
sure. But again, maybe this is our bubble of there's nothing really coming out that's setting the world on fire, but they're finding audiences. And all that really matters is if their new subscribers are growing.
But I want to, and maybe this is just us, where my wires get crossed just because I'm fat. You know, we're fascinated by this stuff.
It's because I'm fat. My brain doesn't work right. I'm
maybe
diabetic.
This is where that comes in. Yeah. No, but like, I want to know how many people. I want Netflix to have a fucking view count.
Sure.
When you click on
view count. Yep, motherfucking view count.
I want a fucking view count.
Yeah, and they'll never do that.
That's a good horse name. That's a great
view
name.
View count.
Yeah.
Coming around the bend, we have Clown's Nose and View Count coming up from behind.
Ride like the wind, view count.
come. Hey. What were we just talking about before that? Oh, yeah, of there being something for everyone.
I want to see the numbers, how many people are watching these things.
It's also funny that I think Netflix, because they had such a good start out of the gate, they still are kind of riding on their reputation of Netflix shows being legacy shows, and they really haven't been for a while.
What do you mean?
So, for instance, what was their first big hit? They had House of Cards. That was like a big hit, and everyone was super into it. They had Stranger Things, and everyone was super into that.
Orange is the New Black.
Yes, and Orange is the New Black was around the same time as House of Cards, and they just suddenly got this reputation of being, oh, they're heavy hitter. Like, these are good shows. And then you have stuff like Hemlock Grove in between all of these, which was their first one that I noticed was like, well, that's a bit of a misstep, but, you know, maybe it'll get... And then they went off the rails pretty quickly, like, as far as the quality of their shows. It makes me wonder if there's just so much happening and they're expanding so quickly, they just kind of lack focus on where exactly they should be putting all their marbles.
Well, yeah, it's like it seems like it was an experiment that's continuing to go of them just like throwing, like seeing what people are gonna,
right?
You know, and I guess for I don't know, man, if it works, if you get a Stranger Things out of that,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Then like, congrats.
Yeah, we're gonna burn $5 million and maybe we'll make 100. Like, I'm sure Stranger Things has probably been a huge success for them.
And we
merchandising alone has probably made them a fuckload of money.
Oh, I'm sure, dude. And with fucking even Bright, as much as like we didn't do a Bright episode either, did we?
No.
But
it was apparently a success by whatever metric they
use. And also, what's genius about it? Like when they said they were doing they're doing the sequel, like it's happening.
Right.
And I was like, that's annoying. I didn't like Bright. I thought it was like, again, one of those things of so much promise in your idea and you just.
Right.
The execution was so strange, in my opinion. But them doing the sequel is a fucking champ move. Because now they're doing this thing where, you know, one movie's enough. One movie, it's a blockbuster movie starring Will Smith being on your... The only way people can watch this is get a subscription to this video thing. You're going to start making more of that thing, and then there's going to, at some point, be a trilogy of...
Will Smith
blockbusters that are only on this Netflix.
It's true.
Like that's the stuff that's gonna start. When they figure out, and they kind of did with Stranger Things. When you breach, God bless your sweet soul. When you breach the overall pop culture thing of Stranger Things becomes this thing everybody's watching, and you like need to see it. It's part of a larger conversation,
right?
Like. That's where it's. Mm-hmm. That's when they're doing what they're doing. That's when that's successful. But it's like I don't know. How long can that go? Though? How long can you keep throwing this much shit at it? And how long before, you know, enough people realize that something like Bright is bad before movie stars and people who keep doing these things are starting to like.
Well, that's the thing about transparent metrics about how they don't have a view count. We don't really know how they generate revenue, so you don't have that number to point to. So if Bright came out in theaters, right, shows up on Rotten Tomatoes with like what it'd have a 10%. I think when it first came out on Netflix, comes out with a 10%, you also have that number where it says, this was a $120 million movie, and it made $30 million in opening weekend. And I think that matters a lot more to people than reviews, especially like industry people. And I think just people in general, when they see that a movie really shit the bed financially, kind of like scares them off of it. When we don't have that kind of metric, you see Bright come out, you kind of hear your friends talking about it and saying it wasn't very good, but I guess somebody likes it because they're making a sequel.
Right.
And I always thought that was their strategy with their television shows, where they would launch a season one of the show with season two already like contractually obligated. And then once the show happens, then they come out with a press release season two. But some of those early shows were like that. Do you remember there was the 2-season Netflix deal? That was like the only deal that they would make.
I remember that. I couldn't remember the specifics about that. Yeah. I thought maybe we were wrong about that.
But I don't know, maybe. Am I repeating a lie that we've already
already
disproven?
Dude, that fucking diner breakfast weighed on my brain.
Yeah. I need to take a damn nap.
All of my brain power was suddenly relocated to whatever my stomach's needing to deal with right now.
It was a lot of
pancakes. Whoa, hold on a second. We got to reallocate some funds here.
I know you want to.
Because
we've been doing some budgeting and stomach department.
Stomach is in dire need.
Oh, God.
But I don't know. This was a weird one to talk about too, because I feel like both of us, it's a thing where we didn't care.
Yeah,
we were excited, but we weren't like I wasn't watching this with like a discerning eye. Right. I was just excited and
at the concept.
At the concept.
Even watching, it's like yeah. Who cares? Look at the thing on a big level.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also the stakes were low. Like it wasn't
right.
You know, that's another thing of like, yeah, sure, maybe it ended and it disappointed me because of like, I had a lot of hype in an hour or whatever. How long I was waiting. But like, that wasn't months of waiting.
Right.
So it was just like, I didn't even know the thing existed. You tell me it's there and I saw it. My disappointment is not going to be like, oh,
right,
man. I mean, I guess I knew that this Cloverfield movie was coming though. We just didn't know when.
Sure.
I don't know, man. I liked it. It was... I will never, like Nick kind of got on my case about like, and this is not the point I'm making. I'm never going to say that if something's passable, that it gets a fucking pass. Right. But like, because yes, we should ask for better. We want good things. I want better things. I want more.
It's a commercial product at the end of the day. And it can be executed deftly.
Yeah.
And it kind of was.
And it was. Dude, the crowd, I mean, it's not like the movie was made poorly. I would never say that. I wouldn't even say it was like paced poorly.
It was okay.
I didn't even, like, I don't know. It just, it, I don't know.
I understand that. I was like, into it. If it doesn't sell in any way, is it really worth watching? And I get it. And I wouldn't say that you need to watch this movie. Even if you like Cloverfield, you don't need to watch this movie. But conceptually, it exists as more than a novelty. It could be a vanguard of things to come. And I think that gives the movie value just to even discuss, just to even talk about.
That's I like seeing a big Clovey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big Clovey.
Because I remember JJ at some point around the first movie was like, in my mind, by the way, that one's a baby. Fuck. You see that, motherfucker? Mm-hmm. You thought that one was big. There's an even bigger one.
That's just like a JJ.
Yeah. He's like, there's a bigger one.
Oh,
like,
that one? That's
a baby.
But an infant.
Oh, God. We're starting to make JJ sound like George Lucas.
Oh, yeah. No. It's happening.
The transformation is complete.
All right. You want to do, we'll do predictive text. I don't want to get my phone.
I want to see JJ being asked like just questions in general in his life. Like,
right.
JJ, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you mean? I don't know. It could be anything.
It's in your mind. It's in the mind of the viewer, what I'm eating.
All right.
We're doing predictive text movie review. This is a game where you type into your phone. Oh, hey. Nick's let me use his. This is a game where you type in the name of the film and then using your phone's predictive text, form a complete thought about the movie. In this case, the title of the film is The Cloverfield Paradox. Okay. Well, sometimes this happens. See, it's not really geared to me because I'm using Nick's phone. So, but I guess you live a very positive life because the one I'm about to read is The Cloverfield Paradox. I am not sure if I will have to go to the gym and then I will be able to get it done. So, I guess that is the Cloverfield Paradox. One must get it done. However, he does not have enough time for the gym.
My phone says, The Cloverfield Paradox has always been the perfect way to end my life, and it is truly the perfect way to end my day.
All right, we'll do two-headed critic and then get fuck out of here. Oh, no, the two-headed
critic.
Did we do it last time?
I think we did.
I think so.
This is kind of our Valentine's Day episode, isn't it? Oh, we didn't even talk about why we love each other.
Oh.
It's your hat. Done.
All right, well, that was a good one. This is a new game. It's called Why We Love Each Other.
Okay.
Dom's the only one who plays.
Yeah.
Now, go.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, our Black Panther episode will be late because I will be in Philadelphia.
Yay.
So just stick around for the next one. It's going to be good. We'll do two-headed critic. Get
here
the
fuck we go.
Out of
here. The
one
element
of
watching
this
Cloverfield
monster.
That the one element of watching this Cloverfield monster that
I
absolutely
found. Hurry up. Any word.
Sorry. Wait, the one element of this Cloverfield monster
that I found absolutely
upsetting
was
when
he
told
me
that
I
didn't
have
a
chance
at
making
a
splash
in
the
professional
wrestling
industry. Hold on. The one element about that
Cloverfield
monster that I found absolutely upsetting was when
he told me
that I had no chance
at making a splash in the professional wrestling industry.
Oh, it's stupid.
All right, well, thank you very much, everybody,
for fun.
Making it through it with us.
You know, it's fitting that this was our Valentine's episode.
Yeah.
Because what else?
It was just draining from us. We got really nothing to speak of. It was just a speed bump in the year.
Trying desperately to keep up with some sort of rhythm, and ultimately it
Can't
ends.
Can't you just be my partner and let me not put any effort into this relationship?
I know.
Hate it. All right. hey, if you like this for whatever reason, please go to www.patreon.com/reasonablebeef. Give it you can. $1 gives you access to bonus beef, which I fucking need to get out. Sorry.
Oh, good.
Which I say that every single week. Listen, it's hard to sit down and listen to 42 minutes of audio and then cut it in 20 minutes and then get it up for people who pay me money. But, you know, I'm depressed. So what do you want me to say? All right, everyone. That would be what I said if I depressed. Come on. That's a funny joke.
Like, got squished.
Yeah.
Get squished, bitched.
What? No. Wait,
fuck. You said, if you got depressed.
I said, but I'm depressed. What do you want me to say? Then you went, aw. I was like, yeah, that would be what I would say if I was depressed.
Oh, I thought you said if I got depressed.
Shut up! Shut up! The episode's over!
Our brains are full of fucking pancakes and fresh toast.
Did you eat yours? Smart. You need to eat them now.
You need to wait before you need to wait. You're driving. Fucking pamp apes.
Man apes.
The International House of Man Apes.
Ha ha ha!